Kaiba's got the stats and he's the leader of the team. Mark's magic multi keeps the punters keen. Trainer's crunching numbers and he's saving his trades. Guzzy says he's calm but he's got people to spray. And there's Dan, he'll join in whenever he can. That's why we all call him the world's busiest man. We're playing for Sheep Station, P4SF. We're playing for Sheep Station, P4SF.
And five is upon us already, Shepherds. I'm joined tonight by Trainer and Guardsy. I'm going to start it a bit differently tonight and ask you a question straight off the bat, because we've had most of the questions. That's why we don't really have a DM section this week, is listeners asking how many trades is too many to have made already. I think I had about seven questions about people stressing about trades. Guardsy, you'll be pleased to know Dom was one of them. How many trades have you made before this week? Trainer, I'll start with you because Guardsy's going to probably tell us none of our business.
I've got 38 left. How many do we start with?
46.
Jesus Christ.
I've boosted twice. I didn't. So how many rounds have we had trades for?
Four.
Two, three, four, and five. So 4 weeks of trades. So I did 0, 3, 2, and 3 this week. So yeah, that's right, 8.
You've used 8. Yep. How many have you used?
After this week, I'll be down to 36. So I'll have used 10.
You've used 10.
I think I went 1, and then I've boosted the next 3 weeks.
I've used 9 as well, so that's this week. So I'm down to, 37 trades. So I started from a pretty low base. I wasn't happy really with some of the second rowers that I had. Tom Duffy, there's a few reasons. I think you've got to, I'd love to have a look back over history and see how the winners started, like the people that win it each year, how many trades did they burn in the first, say, 10 rounds, and how do they manage? I know a lot of people have been hanging on at the back end, but I think it's a good time to trade. Like, you've got to generate cash, you've got to do it. So don't be too worried about all these trades going out the door now. I feel sorry for the people that traded out Turbo, traded him back in last week and have got to trade him out again this week. Like, there's a few trades that are wasted. Guardsy, is that you?
Yep.
Yeah, sorry to say that one, but I know you're not alone. I've seen that across a few of the social media things. They're the ones that you probably look back at later in the year and go, shit, I probably shouldn't have done that. But a few people that might have worked for, I don't know who they could have got in that first week, but it could have been a cash generation thing. It could have been get another player somewhere else. So have a real think about the trades that you're using and make sure you're using them wisely. That's probably the only advice I can give you. Guardsy, you just trade recklessly, mate. You go for it. Trainer, how did you go last week? Let's have a look at the week that was.
1,096. I think I went backwards like 1,000 spots or something. So pretty much just stay where I was again, which I was happy enough to do. Captain Turbo, one of those morons.
Yeah, hindsight's a great thing, isn't it?
Yeah, awesome. And then had Emma sitting there crowing that she captained Garrick, not him. Even though Garrick only got 60, but she still thought she was pretty clever.
Well, that is pretty clever compared to 23 or whatever Turbo got.
Yeah, well, anyway. Held Cleary, so I had Cleary stinking up my pawn, wasting a heap of money, but played Shibasaki, was pretty confident we were going to score some points down that left edge somewhere, so played Arthurs and Shibasaki, and fortunately one of it paid off. Played Tamale as well for 78, so I was pretty happy with that. My boy, Big Red, Safarth, cracking 80 as well was handy, so I had a couple of positives, but yeah, just a shitty captain score always ruins your week, really. It's the way it goes.
Got a few stats later on, boys, that might make us a little bit nervous about owning some of those back rowers with the new crackdown that the NRL have announced, but we'll get into those a little bit later. Guardsy, how did you go last week? Still retiring, or are you happy with your result?
Look, I'm still retiring, but I actually saw green arrows for once, so that was exciting at least. I scored 11.38, saw me go up 8,000, so I'm now ranked a huge 44,841.
Like the top 50,000 where we all want to sit.
Yeah, my boy Preston finally delivered. That was exciting.
You're welcome. He was a great sell from me last week. Yeah.
Liam Martin finally scored a try as well, so I was excited there.
I thought Liam Martin actually looked better in real NRL as well, so possibly good things to come with Cleary coming back.
Well, he's playing the Cowboys this week, so it could be good again. And then I played Shiba, which was also exciting. But yeah, Captain Turbo, and that ruined me. But well.
I scored 1,035 in a tough week for the Munster Hunts. I sold Preston, which I later found out Guardsy and Dan kept, and they were very happy that I'd sold because, that's what happens. I sold Brimo as well. Thank God his two tries only led to a 60 or something like that. And I kept Turbo and captained him, much like Trainer. A bit of captain hindsight would have been beautiful. I was tossing up on a wet weekend whether to loop Payne Haas's 82, and I wish I had off now. My auto emergency would have been Riley Smith, which I think he ended up with 31 or 32 in about that many minutes for Parramatta. Wish I had the DeLorean. We always say it, a bit of a time machine would be handy, but there's time to fix our mistakes, boys, and we'll just keep boosting away, Guardsy, to try and get our teams to where we want them to be. Playing for Sheep Stations League has stalled at 41 participants. If we get up to the magic 50 number, I've said I'll buy a footy jersey. So I'll encourage you. You just have to look back through our socials to find the league code. I can't remember it right now. I might put it onto a tile tonight or tomorrow and post up. It'd be really good to get over 50. Still in the lead and moving into the top 1,000, we've got Brody, coach of Come On Do Something, who scored, he scored about 1,200 and something last week and moved up to 709th. So it's a bloody good job at this time of the year. So hopefully he can keep pushing up higher, and hopefully whatever advice we give, he goes the opposite so he can continue to push further up into that top 1,000. No Mark tonight, so we're going to probably scrape together the team list Tuesdays. I'm going to lean in on Trainer tonight to give us some of the information. I've got a few questions around these games for us just to answer on as we go on. So you want to start us off, Trainer? Raiders and Sharks from GIO Stadium on Thursday night. I'll make one comment before we start. I don't have a question for this one. Both Canberra and the Sharks coming off a loss, and one of these teams will be 2 wins and 3 losses from the first 5 games. For two teams that I think after the first week we probably genuinely thought would be top 8 contenders, one of them is only going to be 2 wins ahead of Parramatta at the bottom of the table by the end of the week.
Yeah, it's a show, isn't it? Not much doing here. Smithies is back on the bench, and Papali'i's gonna start, but whether he does or not, who knows? Haroti replaces Kaliero, who's done his hammy, and big bald dog Tommy Hazelden's back on the bench. Sifa's out with a
So
head knock.
Tommy Hazelden's third go at trying to get a game this year. He's pulled out with the Thursday cut. This will be the Wednesday cut.
Panthers, McLean's back. Replacing To'o's and a hammy. Cleary's obviously back from his HIA. Scotty Sorensen's gone with concussion, so big IPAPs in the back row.
Were you surprised that when IPAP in the back row over Garner?
Yeah, I was actually. Garner's played all the back row stuff, like off the bench when they've had issues, so obviously they just want to keep him coming off the bench.
A good watch on IPAP to see if he can do something really good there, because that might push Ivan's hand and move Sorensen back into that middle rotation like he did a few years ago. Handy to get a
Yeah.
rampaging IPAP on that edge for the Panthers.
Yeah, perhaps. Toddy Payton's just got the same 17 as last week, so nothing too exciting happening there.
Play any of your stocks against the Panthers? Last couple of years, you just wouldn't go near them for fear of, they were the best defensive team. They led in the least amount of Supercoach points. They've conceded 30 points a game on average, or pretty close to 30 points a game on average, particularly to outside backs. I think, could you play someone like Purdue if you had to this week? Or if it was
Oh,
a.
if you had to, yeah. I don't know if I'd be putting him ahead of others, but
So you had the choice between like an Adam Dewey or a Purdue. Who would you pick this week with Dewey coming with an opportunity? Like,
I'd pick Purdue.
yeah, I don't think I'd be too afraid to play him, and I'm actually thinking he might do okay. He looked actually pretty good in NRL as well last week, I thought.
Yeah, he's a fast little prick, but I don't know. The only thing is, if he doesn't get his attacking stats, he doesn't have much doing. The positive for him is the Cowboys do favour that left side, so that is definitely a positive for him. Rabbitohs, Chooks, the big one, Trell Fitt, yeah, playing the centres. So they reckon the yarn is he's going to be in the centres until Campbell Graham comes back, and then he probably goes back to fullback.
He hasn't played in the centres at the Bunnings, has he? He's only like since he
No.
came from the Chooks, so it's been a while, hasn't it?
Yep.
Like Origin, the only time he would have played in the centres would be Origin in the last 4 years.
Yeah, I reckon so. The big one there, Isaiah Tass, pushes out to the left wing. I don't know what he's worth at the moment, but he's pretty juicy there.
He's low. What? He's in Mary's team, and he's been stinking up.
Yeah, well, that's a big win for her because, left wing at the Rabbitohs, and now he's playing outside Latrell. Huge. And then Lachie Hubner's back from suspension, straight back into the starting lock position, which is awesome. Really happy with that.
Same here. I
Chooks.
thought Duncan might have done enough to keep him coming off the bench or something like that, but good news.
Wayne loves him. Chooks, Connor Watson's back from concussion. That's Selesi Feketi bloke's playing off the bench as well from suspension. Yeah,
Nat
Spencer
Butcher at
Lanier's
lock.
been benched. Nat Butcher up to lock because Victor Adley's got a sore cheek or something.
Mate, that guy's head is like a battering ram. He's fucked. Imagine if he commentates when he's 50 like Blocker does, it's going to be a joke.
Oh, yeah. Eels Dragons, Dylan Walker's on the bench.
Another
Riley Smith starting his first game, and there's no hooker on the bench, which I thought was very, very interesting. Luka Moretti's playing his first game, but who cares? I think that's about
as
it.
a Riley Smith owner, I'm pretty happy with that. I hope he's just out 50 for the
And
next 3 weeks and makes me some coin.
he's easy to bring in too, just quietly. Like if you like Tommy Starling is just about to peak, you could go down to Riley Smith next week. His break even's like 17, so he's not going to go up a ton this week, hopefully.
I think it might be a bit lower than that. I think it might be like four or something.
Oh, okay, yeah. I had a look today, but I couldn't remember what it was. Dragons, Emre Guler.
14. 14, so we were kind of both right.
All right, there we go.
Yeah.
Emre Guler has been suspended, so Toby Couchman's back into the starting team again. Up and down like a yo-yo, that bloke. And Fat Boy Laurie's on the bench. That's about it.
So they've got two blokes that probably play 50 minutes between them in Laurie and Clemmer. That means big minutes for someone.
Yeah.
Hopefully, Couchman. Good to see Hamish, my boy Stuart, not have a facial fracture and get named.
Yeah, I saw that he was under injury cleared, but yeah, he's back poking out his 40s every week or whatever he's getting. Jamin Jolliffe's back for the Titans, and this Sean Mullaney, is he a hooker, I'm assuming, because Verrills is hurt.
I think they just called him a utility.
Yeah, so Chrissy Randall will start at hooker, and yeah, that's about it.
Haven't had a look, but
Dolphins.
David Fifita's still off the bench. Has he still been scoring all right? Is he going to lose a bit of cash? I really haven't looked, and I probably should.
Nah, he's gonna lose cash. He scored a try the last couple of weeks, but he's still only got 50 or something or 60.
Right.
So,
So it'll be interesting to see when he's going to bottom out. He scored a couple of tries, a couple one just to pick up and go over, which sucked. But like I was hoping he'd probably just push out a 40 and get down to 500K or something. That'd be
yeah,
that's good.
he'll be getting down there. He's
What price will you pick him up at? Like, when will you go? Like, even if he's off the bench.
Well, it doesn't matter. I'm not going him until he's starting and playing 80
Okay.
minutes. Finns, they've formally moved Max Plath to lock, even though he's been playing there for the last 2 weeks. And Connolly Lemuelu is straight into Tommy Gilbert's spot there because he's suspended for high tackle or some shit. Broncos, Tigers, Jordan Ricci suspended, Pierre Kura starts, and Jaden, the useless prick Hunt, is on the bench. Hopefully he plays about 30 seconds. My boy Goz gets another 80-minute game, and big Brenny has a good crack too.
Guys would be in for good minutes this week. A bit of cash incoming. What did he score? 50 odd last week?
Yeah.
The Goz, yeah.
The guy that you just can't get rid of, he nicknamed Fungus. Once you got him, you can't get rid of him.
Ah, bless him. I'm glad I sold Kobe, not him, last week.
Good
I
call.
got kissed in the dick twice last week. I didn't sell Skelton to Howarth because I can't remember why I didn't do it. Oh, because I was waiting for Jenkins, that's right. And then, yeah, I had to sell Kobe for money reasons. So it's nice to get some luck. We've almost swapped this year, Davo.
As if you deserve it, mate. You've had years.
Oh, spell.
People to this podcast for the last 4 years, they'll know that that's a bit of a G up. Trainer's probably had the worst luck. Like, he would be the influence why I wouldn't pick someone up if he was buying them that
Yep.
week, even if he was the most traded in bloke. Rest assured, he would be injured within the first 10 minutes.
It's hard to win when you curse, but anyway, I keep coming back like a freaking sucker. Tigers, Latufano is playing halfback. Jerome Luai's suspended, and he's got a crook shoulder or something as well. Adam Dewey's named, despite his groin issue in the warm-up. And Lukie Laulihi is on the wing, and Fatapa has been hooked. So I put Lukie boy straight on my watch list today. He is a goer. Great work rate, great tackle bus, and an excellent finisher. If he's in that side regularly, I will be probably scooping him up.
Is he bottom dollar?
Almost, yeah.
Is he a good pickup for someone in a draft if he's on the waiver, something like that,
Yeah,
just
for
as
sure.
a little interested in your thoughts around the battle between Payne Haas and Tyrrell May. Who wins that battle?
Not Tyrrell.
Supercoach point wise.
No, well, it depends on minutes. Probably Tyrrell because he's going to play 80 again, I'd say, when they're getting spanked.
With what he
Really.
does, I think with what May has done this year, people have appreciated now that Payne Haas has been doing it for the last five.
Oh, 100%. Freak. Manly Storm, Tommy Tissue Paper Trbojevic is fucking out again. What a surprise.
Here's a question for you. Will you ever buy him back into your team
Oh,
again?
probably. Yeah, probably.
Nope.
I'm a sucker. I'm a
Not a player
sucker
of
for punishment,
16.
mate.
That was the second most asked question this week. Is Tommy on the never again list?
He's getting very close, let me tell you. He's almost there with BJ Leilua. No, I don't know. I'd probably buy him again because he's that freaking good.
Him again. You mightn't do it this year, but sure as shit, you'll do it again next year.
He can average 120. I'm sticking to it on principle now.
If I don't buy him, he will average 120.
If I ever see Tom Turbo in public, he owes me about 17 beers.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know he can't run away from me if he's going up the Corso because he'll tear a hamstring.
So yeah, Lehi Hoppawattie's back to fullback and Fu'alalo onto the wing. Brownie playing front row. Josh Aloye is being soft and Sipley's onto the bench. Not much happening with the
Any
Storm.
impact on Garrick?
Nah.
Nah.
That's dribble. Storm are looking pretty stock standard. They've just got Jerome Hughes hanging around down there in the reserve, so he might be a laid in, see what happens.
You know what, he must be the fastest healer from a broken bone if he comes back a week at what's that, nearly just a fortnight after he's done it,
Yeah.
taking Cleary that long to get back from a head knock.
It's true. It's facts. Sitili Tipanua is suspended for the Doggies, so Morin's having to go on the bench, and the man, the myth, the legend, Jakey Kiraz, number 22, 23, nearly back.
A couple of questions from you. One question from Shooter regarding the Sea Eagles game. He says, is Lehi Hoppawattie an option now that he's gone back to fullback?
Yeah, he's an option, 100%. He goes good back there. I don't know what he's worth at the moment or what.
I think he's like 580. Yeah, he's pretty
Yeah,
high fives.
it'd definitely be a pod play. But yeah, if you want to be
I think
ruthless.
Manly have got a pretty tough run coming up.
Yeah, and the thing is, Turbo, it's probably only 4 weeks or something. So if they got tough games for two or three out of those four, like I don't know if you're gonna get your value.
You've got the Storm this week, which is a tough game. Doesn't get any tougher. Then they've got the Sharks. Is Optus is in Perth, isn't it?
Perth.
So they've got to go to
Yeah.
Perth, and then they play the Dragons at Four Pines. So that's not too bad a game. And then they play the Panthers in round eight,
Yeah,
and then
so.
they're saying that Turbo could be back around then. So, but I mean, back for that game, and then Guards, you'll buy him, and then have to sell him again in round nine.
So yeah, it's obviously a risky play, but it could definitely have some upside there. Wouldn't
I
knock
think.
anyone for having a crack.
Yeah, I think he's probably one of the best pods going around this week, but it's not for me, I don't think, just because
Yeah, I might scoop him up in draft, but otherwise, yeah, I'm a bit soft.
if it had been six weeks or something like that, I probably would have done it. But with the luck of not knowing how long he's going to be out for. Another question around Knights stocks outside backs against the Dogs. The Dogs seem to have the best scramble defence in the league. Looks like Ponga, Marju, Best and Sharp. You play them with confidence against the Dogs, or are they that team that just up everyone's goat and get under your nose and you don't score well against them supercoach-wise? As you said, you're bringing in Bradman Best maybe this week, but you're obviously not worried about it.
I don't think the Dogs have been that great, to be honest. I think all the talk about them hasn't. The
That.
Sharks, I thought the Sharks were terrible. I didn't think the Sharks were great. The Sharks threw nothing at them either on the weekend, I thought.
Yeah,
So.
like to be fair, they've played the Dragons who suck, the Titans who suck, the Eels who suck, and the Sharks.
They haven't. The Knights can throw the football around. I think that'll be the challenge.
And that's right. So that was just a question from somebody. I just thought I'd try and do the questions a little bit differently this week and throw them in around the games because they're mostly around there rather than put them in. The only other question that we had for the week, actually, Dom's just sent one, so I'll
For
a little.
fuck's sake.
I won't put you through it as a proper question. I'll weave it into the pod somehow, Gardsy, so you don't even know. Thomas can't wait or go early. I think you answered that earlier, trainer. It's a wait.
Who's that for?
Thomas can't.
Yeah, hard
Or
wait. We gotta see what happens this week and see what's happening with those nice back rowers, so.
Beautiful. Gardsy, we've got your time to shine with the chin list. How's it going this week?
It's a lot of Ashley Klein by the looks of it.
Love that this is a bit of a surprise to you that you've written this while you were drunk watching the footy, and then it's a surprise when you read it on Tuesday night. I really love that.
Look, I'll be honest, it's a lot of refs this week. So Ashley Klein's on first. First one, I don't even remember this happening, but I obviously must have been very angry at the time. It was when he missed the clear early tackle on Jenkins. Did that happen?
Can't recall it, but if you say so.
Apparently, he missed a clear early tackle on Jenkins, but if it's Ashley Klein, we'll go for it because he's a bold dog. So it probably was. Oh, the next one that we have to is firstly Ashley Klein sending it up that Leota dropped the ball. And then, well, it's a double team. Chris Butler, the long leg dog who was in the video ref box, who then agreed with him and awarded it no try when Leota scored. Surely that's a J up. That was a try every day of the week, wasn't it?
100%.
They've been called for the last 120 years or however long the league's been going, 117 years or whatever.
I thought if you had the ball in your hand and you put it on the ground, it was a try, but apparently
No,
not.
I don't like it. There was no separation. It
It
looked
was
like it.
starting to come loose, but it hadn't.
Yeah, that's right. And hitting the ground because it wasn't in the middle of his hand, it just squeezed out to the left.
And he's a front rower. Just fucking award it.
Right. The next one is one of Trainer's favourites. Michael Ennis is on list for probably one of the stupidest things he's ever said, and that's saying something because he's a dumb fuck. It was at half time when he said he wouldn't be surprised if Reeky comes out at half time and gets binned. Is he aware that that was a rule in the trials? The fucking imbecile.
Well, I think Andrew Voss said the same thing, didn't he?
Yeah,
They're
well,
both numpties.
Vossie's an absolute dumb fuck too. He can be on the list too, just for because he actually had a absolute clanger in the commentary box. He was pissing me off all weekend. So add Vossie to it as well.
I don't know who the caller was. It might have been Warren Smith. Whoever called the Titans game, he called one of the Titans Aaron Clark. Is he aware Aaron's playing for the Warriors now?
Well, if it's Warren Smith, that doesn't surprise me either because he's stupid too. Who's next? Jared Sutton's on the list, mainly because he refused to give the Broncos any six agains. I tell you what, Trainer was filthy too, so I know I'm not alone on this one.
I was blowing up deluxe.
But him.
I hope you took him off when he should have put Ricky in the sin bin.
Nothing in it. I also wanted to praise the touchy for his good display on the weekend too in the Broncos game.
Who was the player that put their foot on
Selwyn.
the line?
Mate, I told you there was
Even on the
rain in
line,
the
it was nearly
touchy's
on the
eye.
other side.
The touchy had rain in his eyes. It was hard to see.
I mean,
Good
he's only
job,
wearing bright pink boots as
mate.
well. Like
I don't know
the
why we need to spray these touchies all the time. They're just doing their best. Except
I think
Belinda. He's a fucking idiot. And the final one, we'll save the best for last. He's the headgear dog, the little fuck, Reid Marnie. What about after? What pissed me off even more was when they interviewed him after the game, and he goes, "Oh, you know, it's just the Bulldogs' way." It's
playing
probably
tough
right.
footy.
Bulldogs' way is to do dumb shit like that on the football field. Well, they do it off the field too, but we don't want to bring up the past too much.
So don't trash the fans.
Some of the fans are wankers too. Now, fuck them. Good kebabs though. Yeah, we'll give them that. But yeah, Reid Marnie. That was an absolute dog shot. Blokes on the ground.
He can never get charged that, you know.
He got fined. What a G up.
Unbelievable. That's a
He
crock
got
shit.
fined twice, but then Reeky's on the sideline for 2 weeks. Like,
That's worse than these tackles where people are just hitting people in the head. Like it's some of these suspensions. There's no like malicious intent. Yeah, you've made contact with the head. I get it's a penalty, but what Reid Marnie did, that's fucking bullshit. How he doesn't get suspended for that.
I said it during the game. One of the players shouldn't have been allowed to just have one free punch at him without his headgear on either.
It's interesting. Well, I've got Jamie's 3-2-1s. He said it looks like high tackles are okay with the refs. Well, the NRL have certainly said they're going to crack down. I'm worried that we're going to get a magic round of, I was talking to Trainer before, 2022, we think it might have been when it was that farcical weekend where they ruined every game by sending, there was teams down to 11, down to 10. Like it
I'm pretty
was,
sure it was our first year of Magic Round.
I think it was the second.
Definitely one of them. I don't
Yeah.
know.
So,
It's just going to be everyone that touches someone's head is just going to be binned. It's going to be a joke.
yeah, so he's gone Chris Butler with the 3 points for not sending Marnie for 10 when he
That's fair.
jumped on Atkinson. So that's
And
his
Butler
three.
was also the video ref for the Leota try, so that's fair.
Yeah, he's given 2 points to Wyatt Raymond. I know Trainer thought he did a good job, but he thought Luai should have probably got 10 in the bin in that game as well. And it's probably accurate. Like,
Jerome.
yeah.
What did he want? Did he want Seyfarth's in bin as well for hitting a bloke in the head while he was going backwards?
Yeah, probably.
Fuck
Wyatt's
off.
our man. He's keeping it in the
That's right.
spirit of the game.
Don't knock White. I fucking like
Spirit
him.
of the
I don't
game,
like
man.
many refs.
And he's got 1 point for the touchy who missed the Selwyn foot on the line. He said he's not sure who it was, but it was
Right,
probably
this.
one of the
Who is this bloke? He's not coming back on the show.
Sutton brothers. So he's given
Cancel
him
his point
1 point.
segment.
We need to stop spraying touchy so much. Give them a break. They're doing their best.
He said
All right.
Todd Smith was the video ref, but it wasn't Todd Smith. Was it Todd Smith?
Probably was.
Yeah.
Todd's his
He didn't have a
face.
point as well. And he said, so
Fuck being a
fuck them,
red
they can both
dog.
have a point.
How does Ashley Klein not get a mention? He had an
I don't
absolute
know. He mightn't have
stinker
watched that
on
game.
Thursday.
Mightn't have watched that game. So there's the chin list. There's Jamie's roll call. Good to see that you agree on some and disagree on others. I guess that's the spirit of what we're about.
Spirit of the game, mate.
I've just looked at Dom's question, Guardsy, and I think we've already answered it anyway. It was about Turbo being a huge risk, and are we ever going to go back there again? If not, are we still going to try and play three fullbacks in that using the flex position for a fullback, or do you see it now as an opportunity to cycle through other people?
I won't be having a fullback there this week.
Yeah, neither will I. I've got other moves that I want to make, and I can't make any other decisions, so I'm not going to have that this week. But we'll talk about that in trades. With the set of six, it's been receiving rave reviews. In fact, it's only received three reviews, but rave reviews, all three of them. Tackle number one tonight. With no real crackdown on contact with the head, who benefits? Are there players we are worried about who are likely to go to the sin bin?
Yeah.
Benefits.
Who benefits?
Yeah, like which
People
players do
that
you think?
tackle around the legs like Jake Trbojevic.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean from a Supercoach perspective, like are we going to see high scores from the outside backs, or are we going to see?
Probably.
Does it mean more HIAs as well, though?
No, they don't seem to have to put people on and likes for HIA, so
Gonna see a lot more laying down.
I've done a couple of stats. I'm sure you'll be surprised about this, about teams that give away so far penalties for dangerous contact to the head or dangerous tackles. Canberra have given away five. Who do you reckon the prime candidate was?
Big red.
No.
Corey Osborough, for sure.
No. Darling.
Starling.
Yeah.
How does he even get that high? He's
I
about
don't know, he must
2 foot
jump into him.
nothing.
We'll get
Physically
them as they're
impossible.
falling. Tarponet was second and Horsburgh was third. Tarponet's only played two games.
Yeah, that's
Are the
fair.
Warriors only given away two? And I think they were both the outside backs. One of them might have been Roger. Panthers have only given away two, and I can't tell you who they were. Cronulla of three. The Roosters are the next, are a pretty ordinary team. They've given away eight. Eight penalties for tackles to the head. Three in two of their games, so that's pretty dangerous times. If you look, one of their prime candidates was Docher Clay, so another hooker who's trying to muscle up in the middle. So I think that it came as a bit of a surprise. The smaller guys in the middle trying to muscle up seem to be the ones that got pinned a little bit for that tackle to the head. Bad news for the Broncos. They conceded four head high tackles last week, which isn't. Corey Pakes was the guy. Two
Yeah,
of them were him.
he gave a couple, didn't he?
Yeah, so I think there's a bit of a trend in that. The Tigers had four last week. Talan de Silva is a prime candidate for those. Our man Terrell May didn't do any of those, but Alex Seyfarth is guilty of two across the first four rounds. So he's a prime candidate when the red mist comes over for him to whack someone around the head. We saw it with him doing the jumper punch and carrying on like a pork chop the other day as well. The Knights. They didn't do any last week because they were on the bye. I figured that out after a little while. I thought the discipline had improved. But they guilty of two per game in the first rounds. The other team, well, there's two other teams that are guilty, or three, that are guilty of four in a game. And that's the Bulldogs last week. And they were just targeting blokes' heads against the Sharks. That was pretty clear. It almost looked like it, when you have a look back at it was almost like it was a strategy to unsettle them. Tack the head because the NRL hadn't been sending people to the bin for 10. They might pull that back. Manly were the other team that conceded four last week, and the Titans conceded four in round three. So there are some teams that have conceded no penalties for that, or actually one team, the Storm. Fancy that. The Storm have got great discipline in that sense. So that's an interesting stat, and I'm a bit worried for some of those back rowers and hookers that I own, with the alarming stats, because it's going to be a knee-jerk reaction. They're going to do stupid things, the referees, and we're going to have some lopsided games, I think, as a result of some teams will be down to 11. That'll be 13 on 11, and you just hope you have it's against Cleary and Nico, I suppose, or your outside backs can take advantage of that. Tackle two. Can you leave a position vacant if you don't like a trade option for the week, using the flex as the A or AE to fill that position? So I'm in a predicament. Before Adam Dewey was named, I didn't have a 5-8, and I didn't really love anyone until I had a bit more of a look into what I thought I wanted to do for the year. But it makes me think about people that have two hookers, like if you had Connor Watson and Sandon Smith at hooker for the Roosters. Instead of making a trade in that position, can you just leave it with them and cop no one in that position, get an AE there, and then have your flex take over?
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, that's a strategy this year that we would never have used last year, I don't think, in the regular rounds.
Yeah, because most people's flex is a good player, so you're probably better off doing that and just reserving another centre winger from the back
Yeah,
row or even.
and sometimes your AE that comes in, like me last week, I had a zero because of Dewey. So I got an AE. My AE that came in outscored one of like my normal players. So
Like
that sort of
70, wasn't it?
worked. Yeah, it was like 57 or something
Yeah,
for
bloody
Sandon
hell.
Smith. So that was like better than Iongi's 35 or whatever. So yeah, worked well.
Yeah, so I think that's a genuine strategy this year. I think we always sort of try and tear out or pick someone we're not 100% sure of in those positions where there's only two players. Probably not set necessarily at fullback and halfback, but 5-8 and hooker, it's not setting the world alight this year. I
I
think
reckon
it's
it means like this year you almost don't need to have two good hookers. You can have a gun hooker and a nobody even
And
towards the
just
end of the
put up
year.
with it when the
Yeah.
buy happens. So
Yeah.
I agree. Tackle three. When do you switch from full cash generation mode to prioritizing points? That was a question from someone. I can't remember who it was from, so that's what made me think of this one.
Look, you try and do both.
I probably look at the first 4 or 5 rounds as if it's someone with a really low break even and I can afford someone who I think is going to outscore them. I probably pick the low break even if they're going to make more money. When does that decision change for you? Mine is probably going to change this week and next week, maybe.
Depends what the rest of your squad looks like, though.
Yeah, I think everyone's pretty well set up for cash generation, though, aren't they? So I think we can start to not go every single cheapie that comes along, and that's more what this tackle is about. When do you stop bringing every single cheapie that comes along, and when do you start to go, need this bloke and he's going to be in my team barring injury for the rest of the year?
I think it depends just on like what your money in the bank is looking like as well. Like at the end of the day, you still do need to downgrade your cash cows to somebody else to free up that cash to actually use it to upgrade someone. So I don't know. It's
That's a 2-for-1 kind of, or a one for
yeah. For me, I don't know if I have like a certain time that I would want to do that. It's just going to be what do I need at the time to get what I think is the right play. But yeah, I think soon would be the answer. I just don't know exactly when.
Yeah, but it probably wasn't in weeks 2, 3, 4, or
No,
three, four,
no.
five even, but it's probably from 6, 7, 8. That leads into tackle four. By planning too soon for
Never too soon.
a legitimate chance to catch up by
Oh, if
prioritising players. I spoke to Trainer before because we had a bit of time before everyone, well, before Guardsy joined us, and I talked about the decision between Munster and Jaden Campbell. If I'm going to make that move, I like both. I like matchups. I like what they're going to offer. Well, even though Jaden Campbell's 100K more, or not quite, I don't think anymore, but probably prefer him because I know he's going to play. I think you said, Matt, over the big buy rounds, he doesn't play the massive buy rounds, but he plays all the little ones, which
Yeah,
they
so
can be bloody tricky as well.
misses
Yeah.
12 and 18 or whatever it is, so two of the major ones, but plays 15 and plays all the little mini buys like after the major ones where lots of those Origin players don't back up and stuff like that. So yeah, I think he's as close to a set and forget sort of thing in 5'8" as you can get this year, I think. And at 700K, like yeah, it's expensive, but it's not stupid expensive. So why not?
Yeah, you're not
Let's
paying
just
a
get him in
million
and lock
bucks
him
for
in.
him.
Hey.
You're not paying $1 million for him.
Nah, that's right.
We were paying $1 million for blokes like a couple of years ago. So same sort of setup. Like, when's too late then to buy players that are going to play Origin, like your Angus Crichtons and those sort of guys?
Yeah, it depends on their buys as well. So I know the Roosters are going to buy coming around 10. I was looking at Teddy as a replacement for Turbo this week, but that sort of threw me off that a little bit. I'd probably look to get Teddy after that round 10 buy, because he'll play all through Origin. He'll be really handy through there. But yeah, I don't know. Like, you kind of want to look at their schedule outside of the major buys as well.
You probably want to look at, like, teams like Penrith have learnt their lesson and they don't back guys up all the time, do they? So, and Isaiah, yeah, is probably going to play all three Origin games. He's probably going to get a rest after each one. He looks like he's going to bottom out very soon. And with Cleary coming back, his role might revert back to running a bit more than being that distributor that he's been while Cleary's not been there and other things have gone that way. When, like, that's the question, when's too late? So, we might talk more about that. As it gets a little bit closer, it's probably not so far because there's still, what, six or seven rounds before Origin. So I think you can get burnt by not owning a couple of Origin players until then if they're at the right price. And Brighton's probably in that same position, about to get to the bottom of his tether. But I want to see a bit more out of the Roosters just before I go there. Couple five, are we seeing the end of the Panthers? There's no-go opponents. Can you safely play players against them? Who are the teams to avoid paying your players against? You know, like, the Panthers have been the number one defensive team. They've let in the least number of Supercoach points. I've been back and looked at that for the last 3 years. The Storm, the new team that you just don't want to play players against. Is there
Yeah,
no one?
I think Storm are number one, aren't they?
It looks like it right now.
Yeah.
Panthers, I think, I don't know. I think they got to get their shit together at some stage. But at the moment, as you said, they're letting in what, 30 points a game, so they're
Almost
no
30,
longer that. Yeah, the huge void they used to be, especially at the
yeah.
moment with their mucking
Think
around with
that's,
lineups and stuff.
I think that's a really good thing to take in. Like, history's always good to look at, historical stats, but we've got to play what we see in front of us this year. And I think until it changes, you just play blokes with confidence, particularly edge players, because I think Isaac Tungo looks, McLean looked pretty average in defence when he was playing there. Well, so on both sides, I think Jack Cole's a good defender, but I think they're running well with him potentially. I think individually he's really good. Like, he's hardly misses a tackle. I don't know, that connect is not something. It might just because they're pretty new in that space. Trent Talau looked more like a turnstile than a football player last week till he went off. So I was surprised that they went him over Schneider. I thought they would have just picked Schneider, who's a heaps better defender. And anyway, and tackle six, this one is POD, stands for point of difference. Options in the centre wing and 2RF to target in the next few weeks as cheapies max out. Because I look through our league and we've got one bloke in the top 1,000, and then the rest of us are all battling away. There's about three or four more in the top 10,000. The rest of us are battling away, so we need to find a POD. I need to find about 17 of them. Guardsy, you need to find about 23 of them.
I just need a whole squad of pods.
Pod squad.
I think a pod squad, that's a little name. Guardsy, that suits you.
Yeah, that could be your name
Maybe
next
next
year.
year I'd just pick a team of pods.
Rose. Rose, pick a team of pods.
Yeah, if you can call them the pod squad.
Yeah. So who have you found? 7 and 2 RF, because they're the positions I think that we can really go a bit left to centre because you get so many of them.
I've got a couple. So Angus Crichton, quite low owned in the second row, and then there's a bunch of centre wings, like a lot of the guns from last year because they were so expensive. So Zachy Lomax, Val Holmes, and then even someone like Herbie Farnworth, who's just a hog and runs sideways and palms blokes off and throws off loads, even though he plays for the spastic
It'll be when we
Dolphins.
go to them, isn't it? Like, everyone's got all those cheapies, so all their spots are pretty full with cheapies and other mid kind of to lower price gun like Garrick and Marzio, and the rest are pretty much cheapies. It'll be when we get off those cheapies and get into these proven players that have year in, year out done well. They might have dropped a few bucks or something like that. Guardsy, who have you found?
Bradman Best is a centre wing. He's at like 9% now, I think he said. And then the other
Okay.
centre, yeah, The other centre wing is obviously my guy Ronaldo. I just had a look. He's only at 3%, which is because when Ronaldo goes on a run, it can be scary.
Get on.
And then back row, I saw Hudson Young. He's only at 3% as well. And Raiders have a pretty good run coming up as well, so he could score pretty well.
I've found two targets that are currently both injured. Now that sounds a bit weird, but they're both due back in about round eight when I think I'll be ready to jump off some of these absolute milked out cash cows. Ikao on that left edge, you saw what happened with Preston when he went to the left edge, scored 127 without me on board. Ikao was looking unreal on that left edge. I think that's the attacking edge for the Bulldogs. As much as I don't want to say it, I think the Bulldogs are looking pretty good again this year. Where last year they looked good in defence, this year I think they look equally as good in attack. They're grubs. I don't mind having a grub in my team. He's a bit of a grub. I know you ran him a few years ago to very great success, Guardsy, but now he's on your again list almost, isn't he? Kick out, because you bring him in, he gets injured. And the other one, who was really highly owned at about 600,000 earlier in the year, but has had a mass exodus because of a hamstring injury, is Dylan Lucas, who you can play in either the centre wing or the 2RF, which I like as well. I think moving forward, that's not going to be a bad play if he gets back and gets back to 80 minutes on that left edge for the Knights, which was humming when he was there. So I'm waiting for those two guys to come back, and I'm probably going to try and jump onto them. Here we get to the really good part of tonight. We talk about trades, Guardsy. I'm going to start with you for your trades because I know you're going to be making them.
Yeah, I'll be boosting this week. That's what
Third
I
in a row.
can. Yep. But it needs to be done. So this week, I'm getting rid of Luke Metcalf for Jaden Campbell. And I like having Jaden Campbell because if you move him down, you can move him down to fullback if you need to. You can put him at the flex, depending on stuff. So he's a good option. Right now, it's Robert Toyer going for Jenkins. But with the news that Skelton is injured again, I'm thinking about going Skelton, which gives me a bit more cash next week to upgrade Coby Hetherington, which I like.
It's good, mate.
Yeah, because Preston's on the
And
bye next week, so I'll need to cover him.
I think Toya's still got some money to be made,
Yeah.
break even in the 20s.
Yeah.
He
So I think
probably can
yeah.
keep, yeah, I
I
think he
think I'm
can
going to
keep.
go. Yeah, Skelton. Skelton's break even's like 50. He didn't do as much as I thought he would, so. And then the last one is Tom Trbojevic is going.
We're getting rid of
And,
him. Didn't you just bring him in last week?
yeah. And I'm trading
Oh.
him to my pot option, Mr. Leg Tats himself, Bradman Best.
Just going like his girlfriend, his partner is Jeff Fenwick's daughter as well, so he's a brave man.
Right. Bradman's going to do well for me. I can feel it deep in the plums.
Feel it in the plums. Okay, trainer, where are you headed this week? You boosting as well?
I'm boosting this week.
This year's second or third boost?
This is my second because
I couldn't remember from the start of the show. Good memory.
I didn't end up boosting last week because I realized, I don't know, on Thursday or Friday night that I needed Jenkins this week. So I held on to Skelton and didn't bring Howarth in last week, which turned out to be a masterstroke. Selling Skelton this week to Jenkins, freeing up a heap of cash. And then I'm bumping Metcalf up to Jaden Campbell. And I, at the moment, have traded Tommy Turbo to Pappenhausen. It's going to be nice to have a piece of the Melbourne Storm pie finally. I've been saying it for weeks now. I did look very closely at Reece Walsh too.
He's got to come good at some point, doesn't he?
100%. And he's lost a lot of cash. Like he's cheap. There's a good opportunity there. So I've
I
just.
think the thing with him as well, he's if you look at his base, it's actually improved a fair bit this year as well, which has
Is
been
that why
pretty
he's
good.
buggered? Is that why he's thrown such terrible
He's
interceptions?
actually taking hit ups and actually making tackles, which is always nice.
Yeah. So probably the only positive with having Pappy is, again, it's a little bit of bye planning early. Walshy's probably going to be involved with the Origin squad, whereas I can sort of hold Pappy through the byes, I think. And if he's going to kick goals, I'm hoping for the next few weeks might just bump up his score a little bit. I know the Storm have got the Dolphins coming up soon. So there is a. I know it's probably not as exciting getting Papenhuyzen, and I know a lot of other people have probably got him by now too. But yeah, I don't know. Just logically, I think it's making more sense to me.
Yeah, don't mind. I don't mind that. And I think he's going to kick goals this week. He was pretty adamant that it was only going to be one week. He's a much better goal kicker than Wishart as well, I think. So that's looking likely. I'm also boosting. So this is three in a row for me as well, nine trades down. I'm selling Starling this week. His break-even's gone up a little bit. And I just think if I look across his minutes, they're just gradually going down, 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 down. And
I
that's been
think
Ricky's
last
way.
week probably an anomaly just because he was in Townsville and it was 1,000 degrees up there. So I'm keen just to watch one more week there and see home game at Canberra at night, maybe if they bump up a bit, but I'm looking to sell him next week as well.
Yeah, it gives me the opportunity to go Starling to Hines via Jules, which I like. I just want to have Nico and Cleary. I feel safer with that. That's something that I think I can run for as long as they stay fit. I can probably then carry through Origin with Nico there and just, like we said before, not worry about having a halfback when the byes and all that sort of stuff are on and hope I can get to however many players we've got to get to. I'm also selling Metcalf. He's done a bit of a job. I played him for his big score, thankfully. Otherwise, I would have been pissed off,
Must
I
be
think,
nice.
as a Metcalf owner. Thank God I did, because imagine where I'd be coming if I didn't. Gee, about the only thing that went my way this year. He's up to nearly 500,000, so he's a pretty easy switch across to Jaden Campbell with the money that I'm making selling Tom Trbojevic to Tom Jenkins and keeping Jenkins in the flex position this week, with the thought that when one of the two RFs that I want to sell first goes, I can just flick them out, move Jenkins up, and then buy the fullback that I want after I've had a bit of a look. Hopefully by then, Latrell might have played a few games and I can pick him up in fullback once Campbell Graham's back, and I can be one of the first to pick him up at fullback, because I don't think a lot of people go to Latrell now. I think he would have been heavily bought this week if he had been named at fullback, but I think people will be a bit gun shy on him, and I want to be ready to pounce once he's hopefully lost a few bucks and he comes back at fullback, and I can really pounce on that first week of him back at fullback. So they're my three trades.
Yep, I can tell you for free. I had Trbojevic to Latrell penciled in first thing on Monday, and then yeah, all the chat around him playing centre came today, and I've had to backpedal and
How many
yeah, make
times
a
did you
different
have to
decision.
cross-reference that with all the bullshit first of eight, like April
Oh
Fools?
yeah, I know. It's a fucking pain in the ass, wasn't it?
Absolutely. When information like that's out there, you're starting to think, are they pulling me leg here, or is it fair income? Captains and vice captains, boys, and I'm starting to think with the captains and vice captains that the front row option I should have looped last week. Us on 82, had the opportunity, went with Turbo because I was scared of FOMO, of him coming out and doing something to the Eels that was actually, in hindsight, probably never going to happen. I'm starting to think he's a lot lower loop than it ever has been before. My captains and vice captains, I think I'm going to vice captain Cleary coming back this week. It's a pretty good round. I think it'll be not too obvious. I think there's heaps of opportunities this round. I'm either going to go a bit left field, and I'm going to captain Gutho against the Eels, and hopefully the Eels reward me by being shit again, not like they did, not like last week. Or I'm just going to go Kane Haas or Tyrrell May as my captain and just try and lock something in and get 70 or 80 points and be happy with that. Where are you headed, trainer?
Yeah, I'm the same. So vice captain Cleary against the Cows. I think he's got to come back with a point to prove after letting his team down. I think he'll be all over it.
Shane, what
Hopefully,
about the super coaches? He let us down, mate.
yeah. Well,
Two points.
I don't think he gives a fuck about us.
Think
But
he does. I think he must get 1,000 DMs from cranky pricks, and it really would affect him. And he's ready for us. He's coming back.
okay. Well, let's say it's for us then. Whatever. But yeah, I think he'll be heavily involved for the Panthers. And then at the moment, I do have the captaincy just on Haas, but Tyrrell May, another great option. The other one I like is Jaden Campbell against the Dolphins. There's a bit of a let's have a bit of a swing here, maybe.
I'm actually thinking the same thing. I'm coming, I don't even know, 38,000th, I think. I didn't even write it this week, but it's pretty shit. And this is the, like, you want to start to take too many chances, but how big a chance is Jaden Campbell against the Dolphins? Like, he scored 63 last week with an intercept try. I can see him going low, but I can't see him going that low.
Yeah, look, fingers crossed that Nathan Cleary just fucking gets 100 and I don't have to think about it.
Yeah, that's what I want to find. I just want to find someone over 100 is my vice captain. Loop-de-loop, happy days.
Send him on his way.
Adzi, where are you headed?
I'm going to VC Christian Tuipulotu against Para. Might score three, and then I'll be laughing. And then right now, my captain is on Payne, but I'm leaning towards Walshy. I think he could have a crack against the Tigers.
Have you already captained Walsh once this year?
Yeah, captained him when he got 53 or something, so it
That
wasn't
one's got the
dullest.
really late try assist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah,
Tough.
I think this could be the week against the Tigers where he goes a bit better. It should have mattered though with Christian scoring three or four, and I'll be captain at a 120, hopefully.
120. If he scores four, I think he's getting more than 120.
Yeah, 150. I was
Yeah.
trying to be generous, all right? Just, didn't
Trying to
want
be conservative, not
to, yeah,
generous.
generous to everyone else when
Yeah,
I'm
that's right.
laughing that I get 150.
Hope you do, mate.
Oh, me too.
You know that. You know I'm not a.
Hopefully Bradman goes well against Crichton, and then I'm not the lead in the app.
That'd be good, and we'll see you again next week. No mark this week, so we might actually have a chance of getting this multi up. We might pick one each and see how we go. The old succulent Chinese multi, it's not been very successful for the last, let's be honest, 2 years and five rounds. I think we've had about four all up in that time. Strike rate is not high. I'm going to add in, I think Tino against the Dolphins is a pretty good bet. So I'm heading Tino,
No,
Suamala
hang on,
up.
hang on, hang on, hang on, hang on. You're here telling me that we have not got one of these multis up in 2 years and five rounds, and you're going to throw out Tino as your bet.
Scored two out of three games this year
Fuck's sake.
I was going to
Against the
say
Dolphins,
Dolphins
say
we do
JoJo
not.
Fifita.
I'm going to say Isaiah Tass outside of Latrell Mitchell.
Okay, so
I'm going
Tass.
to go. I'll go a Panther then.
Okay.
I'm going to say Paul Alamotti. I'm going conservative.
Right, so we've got Tino, who scored two out of three games against the Dolphins team, who have let in tries to front rowers and hookers. Deluxe. I would have picked the hooker if it was Verrills, because Pake scored last week, and
Yeah, but Pakes has a gun, mate.
both Appy and De Silva scored the week before against the Dolphins. So they let in tries in the middle of the field. They clock off. You ever watch? Their markers do absolutely nothing inside the red zone. They
Yeah,
just
because
stand there.
they've got people like Finifiliaki that stand at marker, mate.
They literally just stand there, and the A defender stands about 18 meters wide. It's unbelievable to watch. I reckon even at my electric pace, I'd nearly get through the gaps they leave. You watch it. So we're going Tino, Tass, and Alamotti. I'll put it up on the socials. Maybe we can get there, and then we can just
Imagine
sack
if we
him.
win.
We can just sack
Imagine.
him.
We're
Just
no
sack him.
chance. Benished. Don't put any money on this.
Yeah, put your
Anyone.
money on it.
Everyone
Put your
put
money.
$100 on it.
Yeah,
You idiot.
100 cents. I reckon everyone
Gamble
should put 100
responsibly.
cents. Responsibly, 100 cents. Righto, boys, it's been good, just the three of us tonight. Almost back to the good old days when we first started here. Feel like we've covered a lot of ground, and I feel like we've steered people into some good areas. I like your Bradman best call, Guardsy. I'm confident that he doesn't pass at the Marju this week. Probably scores three. Maybe he should go into the multi. Righto, boys, good to see you. Ta-ta and farewell.